Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And it is time to continue with our program after 9. And today's Nasiha program, we've got on the line Mufti Ilyas, and inshallah, Mufti Saab will be giving us valuable advice, that advice that you can bring into our lives practically and inshallah change our lives onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. On the line is Mufti Ilyas. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa alana.
Mufti Saab, how are you this morning?
Alhamdulillah.
Mufti Saab, you can begin with the advice.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated in one hadith that عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين. Basically, the meaning of the hadith is, simple translation is, that hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the خلفاء الراشدين. And these خلفاء الراشدين, they are rightly guided. Now, in Islam, we must realize something, that we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, meaning that the mainstream of Muslims, we belong to the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. And from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, we will derive any law, or we will substantiate any law, or if we have to prove anything in the Sharia, then we will utilize four sources of derivation. That is the Quran, number two, the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number three is Ijma, that is consensus of opinion of the Sahaba Ikram, the Mujtahideen. And number four, what we term as qiyas, analogical reasoning. This analogical reasoning will be based upon the above, the Quran, the Sunnah, and Ijma. Nowadays, unfortunately, people, especially because what has happened in Nigeria, they're sending out a wrong signal via radio stations, via the commercial radio stations, and because they are vocal, unfortunately they get opportunity to go upon these stations, and they do not present Islam in the true pristine manner as how it's supposed to be done. They go out saying there, for example, that nowhere in the Quran there is stoning to death, nowhere in the Quran. And they stress this fact, nowhere in the Quran. And on the other hand, the word Sharia is being used. And the word Shariat is being used very loosely, giving the listeners, Muslim and non-Muslim, the opinion of making their zehn, trying to indoctrinate them, that the Sharia means Quran alone only. Whereas the Sharia is based not only and solely upon the Quran. The deen of Islam does not solely and only rely upon Quran as source of derivation of law or deduction of law or substantiation of law or argumentation of law. The Quran is the primary source, the Sunnah is also the primary source, and Ijma and Qiyas, those are the secondary sources. For example, by stating that, oh, it is not in the Quran, you're sending out a signal saying that if it's not in the Quran, you don't have to practice it. If it is not in the Quran, it is not in the Sharia. If it is not in the Quran, no, Muslims don't have to believe in it. If it is not in the Quran, no, you do not have to enforce it. If it is not in the Quran, then the judgment that they made, oh, that is un-Islamic. Unfortunately, these ignoramuses that propagate this view and give out a completely erroneous and fallacious signal that if it's not in the Quran, it's not in the Sharia, they are misleading. In fact, they are misled and they are misleading people. We should realize very clearly, and we should know that the deen of Islam is not only based upon Quran and Kareem. Yes, Quran Kareem is our main source, our primary source, but it is not the only source. But if a person, for example, says, and there is a group in the world, there was a group started in Lahore, in Pakistan, and which was classified by the ulama as Ahl al-Quran, and you have remnants of that floating around in the country also, that they say, no, the Quran is sufficient for us, and the Quran is adequate for us. We do not require anything else. There are those who do this directly, who say this openly and directly. They say, no, we don't require any other source of argumentation. The Quran is sufficient for us. And more dangerous than them are those culprits who indirectly send out a signal confusing the masses that, no, the Quran is not in the Quran, so we do not have to practice upon it. When it is not in the Quran, then it is not in the Sharia. These people are more dangerous than that group that openly says that, no, we only believe or we only act upon and we only rely upon the Quran. Because that first group has been classified, because if a person says, I do not believe in the Sunnah, and I do not want to act upon the Sunnah, and I do not want to act upon the Hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person, he goes out of the fold of Islam. Because he does not want to acknowledge, he does not want to accept, and he does not want to believe in a primary source of derivation and deduction and argumentation. The person subtly, and these unfortunately ignoramuses, they are nowadays classified as scholars of Islam, and they are classified as thinkers in Islam, and they are classified as very great intellects in Islam, because they are vocal, and those who have got the true deen of Islam, who are silent, hidden, making effort of deen, but not vocal, and they have placed their reliance upon the understanding of the ulama ikram, who have understood the deen from the mujtahideen, and who have mujtahideen, who have understood the deen from Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who taught it to the sahaba ikram, they are the ones on the right. Not these 20th century scholars who cannot even read Arabic properly, let alone understand it properly. They are trying to mislead people, because plainly speaking, they themselves are misled. Now, the Quran Kareem, for example, to prove the Quran is not the only source, the Quran talks about giving of zakat, and the Quran talks about performance of salah, and the Quran talks about performing of hajj. وَأَتِمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةِ Complete your hajj and umrah. That وَأَكِمُ السَّلَاةِ That perform your salah, establish salah, be regular and constant in salah. وَأَتُ الزَّكَاةِ That gives zakat. Now, for that person who has this argument and says that, no, it's not in the Quran, 2.5% of your assets is not in the Quran. This 2.5%, this figure, this percentage, or this calculation of 2.5% is nowhere in the Quran Kareem. So the person, he can send out a signal to the people and tell them, see, 2.5% is not in the Quran. When 2.5% is not in the Quran, why we must give 2.5%? But the Sunnah explains to us that 2.5% exists, and 2.5% of the asset has to be given. That is just a basic thing. Now, for example, the hola and the hola, one lunar year, the definition of the asset, what is an asset in Islam, and who minute laws, who to give it to, how to give it to, when give it, when must we give the zakat, and who to give, who not to give. The minute calculations of it, all these things are not in the Quran Kareem. So the person, he will become denier of Sharia, he will become denier of laws of zakat if he has to only look at the Quran Kareem. Explaining further, he can say that perform Salah. Quran repeatedly, about over 80 places, talks about zakat and Salah performance. A person, he says, where in the Quran it is said, where the word Fajr comes, where the word Zuhr comes, where the word Asr comes, where the word Maghrib comes, where the word Isha comes. Now, and this sequel. Then, a person will say, the rakat, you have to make 2 rakats in Fajr, for us, 4 in Zuhr, 2 in, Alhamdulillah, today is Juma, and then 4 in Asr, 3 in Maghrib, 4 in Isha. If a person says, where it is in the Quran, these figures? Nowhere in the Quran it tells a Muslim that you must make 2 rakats of Fajr, 4 rakats of Zuhr, 2 rakats of Juma, 4 rakats of Asr, 4 rakats of Isha, 3 rakats of Maghrib. So, when it is not in the Quran, those fellows who say, no, it's not in the Quran, give you out a signal that, no, it's not the Quran, leave it out. So those very people are actually denying now that you have to make Zuhr, you have to make Salat. So for them, Zakat is gone, Salat is also gone. Let alone that, the manner of Salat, the minute details of Salat, which have been recorded, which Alhamdulillah the radio station teachers and Ulama Ikram teach, the Maktab teaches, Madrasas teaches, and those very fellows who harp upon Quran, Quran, Quran alone, they themselves, if you have to ask them, see that you made wuzu, then you stood up for salat, then you went for ruku, then you went for sajda. Where you got all the sequence from? Where in the Quran it is? Where it is in the Quran, the sequence? Also Hajj. And the sequence of Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran al-Kareem, وَاتِمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ, make your Hajj and Umrah. And the sequence, from Mecca you must go to Mina, from Mina you go to Arafat, Arafat come to Muzdalifah, from Muzdalifah you come back to Mina, for Ramiya Jamarat, and the sequence of the Ramiya Jamarat, then you come and make Dhamm al-Shukr, then Halak, remove the hair, then come and make Tawaf al-Ziyara in Mecca, go back, stay the remaining 2 days and make a Ramiya Jamarat, healthy on the shaitans, and in that sequence, small, then middle, then big, and the dua, when you must make the dua, when you must not make the dua, and when you must make mabit, pick up your pebbles, etc. All these things are not in the Quran Kareem. So if a person says, oh, it's not in the Quran, leaving a signal that if it's not in the Quran, don't do it. The Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes to explain. Sunnah, basically, we will, for the sake of understanding, say the way of life of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the mode of conduct of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the how Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practiced upon something, what he did, what he did not do, how he did it, when he did it, why he did it, that are the secret, the philosophy, the wisdom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates towards it. So every action in Islam, the whole world can say anything about it, whether in their eyes, because they are not the ones who created us. Allah created us, Allah put us on earth, Allah knows us, Allah knows what we will react to, and Allah knows what we will respond to, Allah knows our temperament best, Allah knows our psychology best, Allah knows that if this law is in place, then the sin will be prevented, and if this law is in place, then disobedience will stop, and if we do this action, then goodness will come in our heart, and if we abstain from this action, then we will have nice and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About Hajj. Now, the Hajj of the days of Ayyame Jahiliyyah, the Hajj of Ayyame Jahiliyyah, just as there was the Tawaf going around the Kaaba in the Ayyame Jahiliyyah, similarly there were the rituals of Hajj. Shawaliullah Ramtulalay in Hujjatullah Baligha, he makes a discussion on this. And he mentions a few points. He says that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came, he preached Islam, and he modified, he regulated the Hajj, and he brought it to perfection. And he modified the Tawaf, he regulated it, and he brought it to perfection. Now, whatever action needed to be modified and rectified and brought to perfection, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he is the last Nabi, he is the last Rasul, he did it. Now, the laws which did not require modification, which did not require any abrogation, then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left it as is and practiced upon. And one of those laws that did not require modification or abrogation or altering was the stoning. So the stoning aspect which came down, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not modify it. He left it like that. And when he left it like that, it means that it is part of our Sharia also. When it is part of our Sharia, to deny it and to become apologetic and to, because of so-called public pressure, and the public pressure comes from those areas which do not have their own backyard clean, and in their backyard there is such filth and muck and dirt lying that they should look first there before even pointing any fingers anywhere else. Also, concerning the Nigerian case, that first of all, this place is too far from us. We do not have proper communication. Thirdly, we do not know the judgments upon what it was based, how the proceedings took place, what was the evidence, what is the reality of the situation. And the reports, the information that is reaching us, are all not kosher. So we cannot, sitting here, make proper judgment. What we should try to realize very clearly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a deen, and this deen is complete, alhamdulillah. And the deen is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. The Sunnah is the entire way of life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now those people who say that the only Quran, they are definitely on the batil. They are on the false path and deviated, unfortunately misled and misleading people. The Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has got various aspects. One is the action of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which has been recorded. And one is the action of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which has reached us via continual transmission. The action which is recorded, his words which are recorded, is the people who observe what he did, they recorded it. That has been compiled in the form of a hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sayings of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now in the books of a hadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are all what they saw him do, what they observed him do, what he said, they have recorded it. They have compiled it. And those who have done it, the scholars of ahadith are called muhaddithin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and fill their qabr with nur. Their services in Islam is tremendous, for preservation and protection. Just as Quran Kareem is protected and preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similarly is the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preserved and protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now those people who say, for example, only Quran, only Quran, you ask a very simple question also. besides the one that I explained about the Salat, the Zakat, the Hajj, you will ask them that you make Fajr Salat and the Imam reads aloud. And the Zuhr Salat, the Imam is silent. And the Asr Salat, the Imam is silent. Maghrib, the Imam reads aloud. And Isha, the Imam reads aloud. Ask him that where the Quran says this, that the Imam is supposed to be doing this. And in the entire world, out of every 6 people walking around in the world, one person is a Muslim. And the entire world, whether it is in Cape to Cairo, whether it is in Toronto or Mecca, the Imam does this. You don't find in any other country that Zuhr time the Imam is reading aloud, or in one part of the world that the Imam Maghrib time is silent. Never. This is the law, this is the way, and this is the method. And this method here, respected Maulana and listeners, that this method that the Imam is reading aloud in Fajr and silent in Zuhr, that it is not even documented in the Hadith, but has come to us via transmission, continual transmission. So the Sunnah encompasses the Hadith. That is why we are from the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat, meaning that we accept the Hadith and also the continual transmission of actions from generation to generation, provided there is a proper link of this action and provided that it is authentically proven. And one of those things, for example, is also making of the niyyah that we are going to make 2 rakats of Fajr Salah, or we are going to make 2 rakats of Jummah Salah. This formulation of niyyah is nowhere recorded in the Quran and Hadith, but it has come down via continual transmission to us. And everybody accepts that we have to make one niyyah, whether it is verbal or inclination of the heart or movement towards that action. But that niyyah, whether it is by any definition, is nowhere recorded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deen. And the understanding of the deen will come from reliable ulama, from ulama Rabbani, Haqqani, those ulama who have got fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who have got reliable, authentic knowledge. And those, for example, the ulama ikram cannot, if you are sick, you don't go to the alim and ask him, listen, I'm sick, and he must play the role of the doctor. Similarly, the doctor, he, when his car is troubling, he does not go to the alim, but he does not even go to the dentist, he goes to the mechanic. So, likulli fannin rijal, for every science there is a man. And for the science of Islam, the understanding, the interpretation, and preservation, propagation, true understanding of it, the ulama ikram are there. Not those who think they are vocal and who can write 1-2 articles and who think they are scholars in Islam. Unfortunately, these people are so dangerous in Israel to the Muslims, they cause more harm to Islam than the enemies of Islam. I will repeat this, that those who are not in a position to comment on Islam and comment on Islam, those who are not authorities on Islam and comment on Islam, and those who are basically ignoramuses and are vocal and comment on Islam, and those who have got no right to comment on Islam and comment on Islam, are more dangerous to Islam than the enemies of Islam. There is no priesthood in Islam. That same fellow or the same person who wants to become an authority in Islam, he has to study. He has to go through the course. He has to, just like a person cannot go tomorrow, how he opens a supermarket or he opens some other shop, he cannot go and just say, I'm a doctor today, so I go to the chemist and buy all the medicine and start administrating the medicine and start giving injections, etc. Will the medical faculty allow that? They will not allow that. Similarly, the science of understanding the deen, which rests upon the shoulders of the ulama, non-ulama, they are one who must take directives and should be guided by the ulama ikram, not that they must now start commenting on Islam. Yes, you want to serve Islam, you want to propagate Islam, you want to preach Islam, you want to become active in Islam, then go through the right channels, follow the correct protocols, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept the efforts of every and each and every individual. Today, alhamdulillah, we can see that those who really want to serve Islam, they got adequate opportunity, they can serve Islam, provided they do it under the correct supervision of reliable ulama ikram. May Allah ta'ala grant us ability to understand this beautiful deen of Islam.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. I think such advice that was given, I think it opened the minds of our listeners out there. We know that at the present moment there are many people coming on to writing columns in the newspaper, coming onto the radio station, and mentioning about the Amina Lawal case, and mentioning about Rajam, the pelting and stoning them. Jazakallah for that clarification, Mufti Sahib. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa